Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel joining us at 7.30. We'll look ahead to Tennessee and NC State with him coming up later this hour. Willie Donick will be with us at 8 o'clock. Dave Wanstead at 8.30 joining us to break down the Chicago Bears and the matchup for the Titans coming up in week one. So looking forward to all that. Joe, it is prediction season here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've reached this point of the NFL calendar. Week one coming up. First game Thursday night. So let's just roll through it here. We're going to have division winners around the league. We're going to have playoff teams from both conferences. The Titans record and our Super Bowl matchup. That's what we're going to roll through right now.
And winner.
And winner. So there we go. All right, let's start with the divisions. And we're going to start on the NFC side of things. When we roll around to the AFC and we get to the AFC South, we will start before our AFC South prediction with our Titans record and then go from there as it relates to the AFC South. But we'll start with the divisions. In the NFC North, the highly anticipated NFC North, in which the Titans will see those teams this year. Here's how I got it. I got Detroit at 1. Detroit 1, Green Bay 2, Chicago at 3, and Minnesota at 4. That's how I've got that division this year.
Oh, we're doing the whole division.
That's how I did it.
Okay.
But you don't have to.
Oh, I can roll that way.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I have it a little different than you have.
Do you?
I have it Green Bay 1.
Oh, boy.
Chicago 2. I'm not telling. I'm not saying, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be both Rookie of the Year and MVP, anything like that. The Bears have been... They've been building a pretty good football team here, guys, and they've done a lot around him. I like their defense, and yes, the Detroit Lions third with a schedule that is absolutely brutal. So before you jump on me about just being, you know, Lions hater, they have a very brutal schedule, and then we'll go the Vikings four.
Jeez.
I'll go through the schedule.
People in Michigan going to be very upset with you.
Well, that's fine. They can – you know, I've been trying to save these people from this fandom, and what happened? You got all – it was 24-7. You were going to the Super Bowl. What happened? It's the same story.
I screwed it up.
Let's see. Rams, Bucks, you got that card. Okay, you're going to the Cowboys. Obviously, you have your division games, division stuff. Going to the Texans. Going to the Colts, that's not a – you know, that's not – you got the Bills. You're going to the Niners. I mean –
you got the Titans at home.
You do have the Titans at home. And that's not necessarily a gimme either, by the way.
Yeah.
So just just say it. This is a classic letdown year for the Detroit Lions.
A mighty team that will not yield.
All right, the NFC East. Who you got winning that one?
I've got the Eagles.
Okay.
And then the Cowboys, and you know, you would do whatever you want with the other two. But let's call it a tie for last with the Giants and Commanders. But I have the Eagles. They're a really interesting team because I could see it going either way. And obviously there's some heat on Sirianni, and you know they had to change things up with the coaching and all that, the OC. I think they're going to respond. And I actually think that Saquon Barkley is going to be – there's some running backs moving this year that I think are going to have big years, and he is one of them. So give me the Eagles and edging out the Cowboys.
I got the same. Philadelphia, Dallas, Washington, the New York Giants is how I've got that one. I actually think Jaden Daniels has a chance to be pretty good.
I'm excited to watch him at least.
And to make things kind of interesting. But I think Philadelphia, Dallas, definitely the best two teams in that division. I'll go Eagles 1, Cowboys 2 in that one. The NFC South, I think we're going to have the same division winner. Give me the Atlanta Falcons. How could you not pick Atlanta with what they've done this offseason? I'm going Falcons 1, Tampa 2, New Orleans 3, Carolina 4 in the NFC South.
Yep, exact same for me. Exact same for me, and I'm excited about the Falcons. Captain Kirk, maybe he has the right combination of things around him to help him. Apparently the Achilles, it looks like everything's all good there. But Tampa's a good team too. I think that's a pretty good race between those two teams, and hopefully Bryce Young and those Panthers will at least show some signs of being a professional football team.
The NFC West, who you got in that one?
Yeah, I've got the Niners, and then Rams, and then Seahawks, and then Cardinals. And really, I mean, that division, I could see the Cardinals, you know, being decent this year. Not, you know, like that division could
big year for Kyler.
Could be. It is a big year for Kyler. That could be a pretty decent division. Now, obviously, you've got, you know, the favorite in the NFC at the top, but I like the Rams. You know, I like what they've got going on. The Seahawks are pretty good. They're a dangerous team. Like, certainly three playoff caliber teams in that division, and I don't. And the Cardinals are not. Like, they're not going to be, I don't think, like a 3-4 win kind of team this year.
I've got the exact same order as you. We move to the AFC North. In the North, which I think has a chance to be maybe the best division in football. We'll see. I've got Cincinnati 1, Baltimore 2, Pittsburgh 3, and Cleveland 4. I think Cleveland's got a very talented roster. I just don't trust Deshaun Watson. And I know that Pittsburgh's got Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and I don't really trust them either. But Pittsburgh always seems to find a way to be in the mix. They always seem to find a way to be right there on the edge of the playoffs or barely squeaking into the playoffs. So I'm going Bengals 1 in a bounce-back year for them, Baltimore 2, Pittsburgh 3, Cleveland 4.
I'm a bit different there. I got the Ravens. I got the Ravens winning it again. Definitely the Bengals 2 and bouncing back and being a legit team in the AFC. And then I'm going Browns. I hear you, and I don't trust Deshaun Watson either, and I don't know what's going to happen there, but I do like their team quite, you know, it's better than the Steelers. Steelers drawing up the rear, and I don't think it's going to work out with Russ, and then Justin Fields will come in and, like, make some big plays, but he hasn't been able to be consistent, and that's not a great team. So it's not a bad team for a last-place team, but I feel like the Browns still have enough talent to – find a way to win a little bit more than Pittsburgh.
All right, the AFC East. Who you got there?
I'm going with the Bills, and they are, you know, that's a tough one because I don't like some of what they've lost for sure. Their coach is definitely under fire, but I believe in the QB and Keon Coleman. I think is going to be a really good add for them, and they still have a good, if not great, defense. So I'll give them the slightest of edges over the Jets. Then I'm going Jets. Then I'm going Dolphins. And then, of course, VFL Gerard Mayo and the
yes,
Bets.
Yes. I also have New England last. I've got the Jets winning the division. I'm going Jets 1, Dolphins 2, Bills at 3 in that division.
Ooh.
As I've said.
Bills hater.
I'm not very high on the Bills this year. So I'm going Bills at number 3 in that division. The AFC West, I mean, I would assume we all have Kansas City. In the AFC West, I've got Denver at 2. I think Denver is a surprise team in the AFC this year. Part of that's because I don't believe in Vegas, and we'll see about the Chargers under Harbaugh. But I've got Kansas City 1, Denver 2, Chargers 3, Vegas 4.
I'm going to go Chargers 2, and then Broncos. But I agree that the Broncos, I think, will definitely take a step forward and be among the living this year in the AFC. But you know. That Harbster, say what you will about his cheating and Connor Stallions and what on all that. It doesn't mean he's not a good football coach. He's got a very good quarterback, and I think, you know, it's weird how, like, we've talked about them for years. That roster is just, I mean, now it doesn't. It's like, man, they really have an imperfect roster.
Yeah,
you know, but I think that I think the Harbaugh effect will be positive this year.
All right, so before we get to the order of the AFC South, Joe, your record for the Tennessee Titans. We don't have to go game by game, but just what do you have the Titans ending up as their record this year heading into it?
Titans 8-9 is my prediction for the Titans. 8-9. They cannot do the Jeff Fisher special because of the stupid 17 game thing.
That is true.
But to me, they look exactly to me like an 8-8 team. They got some good things about them. They're going to get better in some ways. They're going to win some big games. But I think they're in a tough division. I think they have a very tough, you know, it's a very tough last place schedule.
It is.
I mean, it's just, and again, that has a lot to do with having to play the mighty Norris division in the NFC. But 8-9 is my pick for the Titans.
I've got them 7-10, and it's really because of the schedule. Like I went through the schedule. I don't know, 8 times yesterday. And, like, there's certainly some toss-up games that could go either way. But, like, I basically had them splitting with Jacksonville. I had them splitting with Indy. I had them losing to the Texans twice. And then you factor in some road games that they've got with this schedule. It was just difficult for me to get much past 7-10 or 8-9. 7-10 is where I ended up most consistently, so that's where I'm going. I'm going 7-10 for the Titans. So with that in mind, in the AFC South, I've got Houston 1, Jacksonville 2, Titans 3, Indy 4. That's how I've got it.
I have the exact same.
Okay.
Exactly.
So neither one of us very high on the Colts heading into this year.
Yeah.
We just saw Graziano on ESPN pick them to win the division.
And that's, you know what? That's it's an exciting division. And that's one of the best things about this season starting is, like, I actually want to watch AFC South games this year.
Yeah.
And there's been some years when I really haven't. When it's like, oh, which AFC South game is relegated to this Thursday night, you know? Oh, the Jags wearing what looks like, you know, used diapers. Awesome. it's actually a fun division, and the Colts are fascinating, but I don't like some of what I've seen and heard about Anthony Richardson and camp, and I know, you know, that's just, you could say, like, why would you overreact to camp? But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting once Shane Steichen has game plans with him, but then you have the whole thing about trying to keep him healthy. And, yeah, I think it's not going to work out. I think this might actually be it for Chris Ballard.
All right, so we've got our division winners. We've got the Titans records that we've thrown out there. Your reaction to that? Who's winning the AFC South this year for you? What's the Titans record going to be? We'll take your thoughts on all that. We'll get to our playoff teams and our Super Bowl winners coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. NFL prediction season here on the program. We've thrown out our Titans record. You've got them at 8-9. I've got them at 7-10.
So I'm the homer.
You're the homer. Glenn from Greenbrier says,
again,
10-7, boys, and any other answer is just wrong. That's from Glenn from Greenbrier on the text line. I like that. It's 10-7, and that's what it is.
No one out there has got a 12-5 prediction. Come on.
We got a lot.
Chef Rand, you got to be. Come on, give me your pick, Chef.
I've seen
Rand.
Like 3 or 4 6-11s.
Yeah,
that have been.
I've seen
thrown
some of
in
that.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I will say the most common pick that I have seen outside of Nashville, like nationally looking at this, is 6-11. There's a lot of 6-11.
Yeah.
For the Titans heading into this.
I'm trying to think. Last year, was it even lower for the Titans last year around the league, kind of?
Maybe. Like, it was pretty similar, I think.
Yeah.
And we were just like,
we were
these
way,
idiots.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I think I picked, God, what did I pick them last year? 10-7? 11-6?
I think it was somewhere in that neighborhood.
I think it was 10-7.
I think I might have gone. I think I went 11-6.
Did you? Okay.
Like, yeah, I'll be right there on the doorstep of the division.
But, you know,
right there with Jacksonville.
You know, real quick on our, you know, on the revisionist history stuff, which just drives me crazy. You know, again, you know, Chuck, I'm going to pick on you again. You know, he's like, yeah, they thumped Green Bay, and then they got embarrassed by the Eagles. They were never the same. The season finale that year, they went into Jacksonville with Joshua Dobbs, their starting quarterback. Been there a week. The mighty Jags on a heater, about to win a playoff game. Trevor Lawrence, primetime. They kicked their butt all night with, like, no chance of anything on offense and had the, you know, would have won the game except for the fumble call, you know, whatever you think of the call. That was a super impressive performance. Jeffrey Simmons out there dragging a leg, doing what he can to play. Like, it's just not true. Last year, was it week two, they thumped the Chargers. Traylon Burks gets that 80-yard. I mean, what about Levis's 4-touchdown Billy Jean's day against the Falcons? Like, this idea that they just stopped playing for Vrabel. Just no enthusiasm. They just weren't good.
Yep. All right, so in the playoffs.
Sorry, I just had to say that.
The AFC, let's start with the AFC. Who are your playoff teams in the AFC?
So, we've talked to the division with my wild cards, my three wild cards, the Bengals, the Jets, and my third wild card is the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, all right.
I got the Dolphins squeaking in, which means that I've got three from the East.
Yep.
So, beating out the Chargers, beating out the Jags would be the two closest for me.
All right, so I've got Kansas City at 1, Houston at 2, Cincinnati at 3, the Jets at 4, my four division winners. I've got the Dolphins at 5 as the top wild card in the AFC, the Ravens at 6, and the Jags at 7. I do not have the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs.
My goodness, the disrespect.
A lot of disrespect
for the Bills and for the Ravens, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I got the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah, 6 seed.
Well, if they don't win the division, they're either going to be
well,
five, six,
I suppose you're right. But make them the 5. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. You got the Jags in. You're bullish on the Jags.
I think the Jags, I don't think they're going to be like, you know, they were the darling of the NFL last offseason with the moves that they made and Trevor Lawrence and all that. I don't think they're going to be like some super team this year, but I think they've got a chance to be good. Like, I think they'll be better this year than they were a year ago. So with that, I've got them squeaking as the 7. I just can't get there with Buffalo. I know they've got Josh Allen. They lost Diggs. I don't trust their passing game right now. They're getting older. I think Buffalo's in for a down year. And I think McDermott is going to pay the price for it at the end of it.
Yeah. No, it's – look, I mean, the range for them I think is pretty wide because, again, I got to win the division just because I think the Jets are just – like, the Jets are too good to me not to get in the playoffs, but they're also too dysfunctional.
Believe me, I feel like an idiot for picking the Jets and winning the division.
They look good. On paper, they look good. Just don't want to hear them talk or, you know, speak with each other or anything like that, and then everything's fine. I mean, but yeah, I'm with you. You may be right in the Bills. You may be right. Obviously, some of their new guys catching passes have to be really good, and you know, it's like Matt Milano's always hurt, and their safeties they've lost that, which used to be one of the strengths of their team and their defense. So. But I'm kind of just making a Josh Allen pick there.
I mean, I understand. You're talking about an elite quarterback. So maybe that could be enough by itself to get them in the quarterback or get them in the playoffs and to win the division. All right, on the NFC side of things, who are your playoff teams in the NFC?
So if you're going to see it like you did, Niners are my one seed, Packers, Eagles, Falcons, and then wild cards in order. Dallas is the 5, Rams are the 6, and yes, Chicago, your mighty, mighty Bears.
Wow.
The Monsters of the Midway get in as the 7th seed.
No Lions.
The Lions get to watch it from home. Sorry. Wow. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Like, when it happens, because I know this is just like when I told y'all that Joe Milton was going to be the starting quarterback last year, a year before it happened, just remember.
Made a bit of a mistake.
Remember. Made a bit of a mistake. Yeah, well. Should have started Nico all along. But just remember I told you, Lions are going to be the surprise team to not make the playoffs
this
year.
Okay, I like it. My NFC playoff teams, my number one seed, the Detroit Lions. I've got the Lions as the number one seed.
You won't be alone.
San Francisco at 2, Philadelphia at 3, Atlanta at 4. I've got Green Bay 5. Dallas 6, and the L.A. Rams at 7. Those are my 7 playoff teams in the NFC. I will not disrespect Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions like you did.
Listen, I like the Applebee's commercial he's in that we just saw.
Yes.
Why is Chef Rand saying Hawk Tua? I don't know.
I don't know. All right, Super Bowl matchup for me. The Cincinnati Bengals will take on the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got the Lions going to the Super Bowl, and I have the Bengals winning. I've got Cincinnati winning the Super Bowl against Detroit this year. Joe Burrow and company, get it done.
The kitty Super Bowl.
Am I an absolute moron for not picking the Chiefs to win? Probably, but I'm not doing it. 3's hard to do in a row, man, and nobody's ever done it before.
That can't be a coincidence, right?
Nobody's ever done it before. I mean, Mahomes kind of seems like he might be the guy to do that. So maybe I am just a total moron for picking against the Chiefs, but I'm going Cincinnati against the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl.
It is kind of wild that neither of us are going to have the Chiefs because I also don't have them in. So, but yeah, I don't love. I mean, the rookie will be a nice add. They're going to be great, but I think this year is the year that Baltimore gets it done. And yes, I do think that Derrick Henry, you know, he's not going to be an 1,800-yard rusher, but I think he brings an element with what they do offensively that's going to be really problematic for teams. And I think he's motivated in shape. I don't know how many years of greatness he has left, but I think he's going to have a big year. And I got the Ravens and the Packers meeting in the Super Bowl. You'll be happy to know. I just – look, man – maybe it was just a heater and there's a little bit of reality set in, but I really like that Green Bay team. And I don't think Jordan Love, I think that was him. That's why they just paid him. And I think he's about to become one of the great quarterbacks. And it's absolutely disgusting that Green Bay would have three in a row. But I got the Ravens over the Packers in my Super Bowl.
Okay. So Lamar gets it done.
Yep. Lamar Jackson gets it done with, you know, with more help around him. And I like the weapons on that offense. And I think he's going to have a huge year.
So I've got Cincinnati taking down Detroit in the Super Bowl. You've got Baltimore taking down Green Bay in the Super Bowl. A lot of reaction to this on the text line. A lot of your predictions rolling in as well. Somebody asking me, like, are we sure the Jets are going to be good? Defense, yes, but Rodgers will be 41 coming off an Achilles tear. And the last time we saw him, he had a down year for his standards. No, I'm not sure that they're going to be good.
I'm not sure of anything.
I'm not sure of a lot of things heading into this year. But that's the way I'm going with it. So we'll see how things work out. Take your predictions as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us coming up next. We'll look ahead to the Tennessee versus NC State matchup with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Big one coming up for the Vols this weekend in Charlotte. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. College football season again. I was craving it so much. I'm a DirecTV subscriber, so I watched Florida State and BC last night in Spanish. it was the only one that got through the gauntlet. Yeah. So glad it's football time again.
Absolutely.
You get off the DirecTV, man. It's enough of this garbage that they're doing to people.
Hey, man. I'm on YouTube TV. It's good stuff.
It is. Come to the YouTube TV side, Sparkles.
I think I pay for ESPN like three different ways, but I can't figure out how to get off of the one that's not coming through and get on the others. But maybe it'll be fixed by the time I get back from NC State.
If only we could have all this in one location like it used to be, with cable. That was a fun time.
Oh, it was God. Nice, wasn't it?
Y'all sound like my wife.
I prefer rabbit ears.
Apps on my phone. Why do I have apps on the TV? It's like it's fine. Just use the remote. Remote works the same. It's fine.
Right. It sure does. So Adam, obviously, I mean, week one for Tennessee, they handled business, took care of an opponent they should take care of. Nico looked great. We talked about it yesterday. Pretty much every ball was right on the money. So what do you take away from that, given the quality of the opponent and knowing that the level of competition is about to go up pretty dramatically here? Are people overreacting to Nico in week one, or do you think it's right in line with where people should be reacting? How do you view his performance and what that means for Tennessee?
I certainly don't think people are overreacting. I think for Tennessee fans, it's a little different. So people on the far outside that just sort of see the clips and all that, they've heard five-star quarterback, big NIL contract, and look, he threw for a ton of yards and a half against Chattanooga. So, great. For the Tennessee fans that are used to watching this all the time, it's just a different feel. It's almost sort of a visceral experience from watching Joe Milton last year and then Nico this year. You know, I won't dog on Joe. Joe's fine. He's in the NFL. It's fine. But if you watched every game and every throw the last few years, you know, with Joe, especially if you're like in the press box or in the stadium and you have the view of the whole field, not just on TV, you would, when Joe would uncork a ball, you could tell in a split second, that's got too much heat on it. It's going over the guy, it's going past the guy, it's going through the guy. With Nico, it was different. You know, there was a throw to Chris Braswell early in that game. It was like a dig route, like a 20-yard route across the middle of the field. There were three defenders in front of Braswell between him and Nico. And when Nico threw it, he thought, can he get that over those defenders? Yeah, he did. You know, it just had enough touch on it, but also sort of that NFL velocity on it that you need to see. He threw one to Dante Thornton from the right hash to the left on a deep ball. And you could see the safety coming hard. You could see the corner trailing. And you thought, man, he's going to have a perfect throw to get in there. And with Joe, you would see the ball just just coming out like a cannon, and it just wasn't there. Nico is just this combination of, like I said, touch and velocity that the best quarterbacks have. And it was fun to watch because you would see a receiver breaking open. Again, in the wide view of the press box, you'd see the receiver breaking open. And by, like, the second quarter, you thought, that guy's open, so he's going to hit him in stride. You just know he is. Now, when the defense ramps up and the talent ramps up with NC State and some SEC teams, we'll see how that goes. But first time out, you know, he looked like he'd been doing it a long time.
So am I overreacting to think that you mentioned Dante Thornton, Adam, that he could be, to a lesser extent, but kind of the Jalen Hyatt of 2 years ago for this offense, a guy who is just going to be just a vertical guy? Because I thought that's what he was going to be when they got him from Oregon.
Yeah, I could see that, as long as you put to the lesser extent. I don't think he's going to win the Biletnikoff. Right. But, yeah, I mean, he's the, you know, Jalen Hyatt hit in what, the second year with him?
Yes.
And Dante Thornton, the same thing. I mean, you know, and it's kind of in reverse, which is funny, because Jalen Hyatt was an outside receiver his first year, and it just wasn't a fit, and so they bumped him to the inside to slot. And then everything kind of came together. And he was also injured the first year. Dante Thornton was injured last year. He was in the slot. And now they bumped him to the outside where he's more comfortable. So it's sort of in reverse, but the same. You know, again, we'll see. I still don't think he's 100% healthy. He ran well the other day. But I think you'll notice he doesn't – I don't think he's running at 100%. We'll see how he does against better competition. But, yeah, I think so. You know, he's their fourth receiver, I guess, but I am beginning to believe that they're gonna expand the rotation a little bit. I don't think it's gonna be six or seven guys, but I do think it's gonna be four, maybe five, and you know, and he certainly put his name in the hat there. He's gonna be in the mix for a while.
So, Adam, how do you view this matchup coming up on Saturday? You know, on the defensive side of things for Tennessee, I mean, James Pierce played, what, 10 snaps? Like, there's a heavy rotation going on in the front seven. They've got a ton of depth there, and we've talked with you about that before. So, just with NC State's performance in week one, a lot of people are going to be picking Tennessee to roll in this game. How do you view this matchup coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Tennessee on the over. I mean, I think they're about a touchdown favorite.
Yeah.
NC State will be better than they were against Western Carolina. I don't know. NC State always has the feel to me of like a mid-tier, low-third SEC team. Like, sometimes I look at them and think, they're a pretty good record, but what's the difference between them and, like, Mississippi State, you know? Neutral site game, I guess that changes a little bit of it, but you know, I think Tennessee's defensive line is going to be good. James Pierce will be unleashed in this game. Again, you mentioned he played 10 plays. He was only on the field for five pass plays, and one of them he dropped into coverage. So people ask, like, why didn't he get a sack? Well, there's four plays, and he got cut blocked, I think, on two or three of them. They'll unleash that. You know, I just think Nico's going to be really good. I think he's going to be really good until I see a game that he's not. And so, you know, I think Tennessee should win this game. I don't know if it'd be double digits or not, but it'll be somewhere around there. I'll probably pick it 10, 12 points. And if they win that one, you know, the polls are coming out late. They'll come out today. So I'm sure Tennessee will move up one, maybe two spots. If you were to beat NC State, which is a ranked team, then, you know, we're looking at going to Oklahoma. You know, you're creeping into the top 10. So, but they got to win this one. If you want to be a playoff team, you've got to win a game like this outside of your conference.
Did you get any clarity, Adam, from this game on the secondary? Any sort of strong takeaways from that, or are you basically like, we're going to find out a whole bunch on Saturday night?
Nope, I got nothing. I mean. You want to see – here's the thing. You want to see how athletic they are and how good they are in coverage. Chattanooga was intent on getting the ball out of the pocket as quickly as possible, so they were not challenged. It was Chattanooga athletes, so we didn't see anything there. They weren't terribly athletic. So, no, the same questions I had before this game I have after. You know, and that's – you know, if you're somebody that believes NC State's going to win this game, that's how they're going to win it, that Grayson McCall's going to throw for 300-plus, and you're going to get into a close game. And no, I mean, I think if you tell me right now that Tennessee, you know, loses three or four games this year, I'm going to firmly believe it's either a catastrophic injury or it's a secondary. And I've still got some pretty big questions there. I mean, Ricky Gibson didn't play the first game at corner. He'll play in this one. He may start, but, you know, already there you're seeing one corner down who didn't even start last year, and you're wondering if they're good enough to, you know, to play through. And I just don't know. I have some pretty major questions there, especially at safety.
Obviously, I mean, it's a very experienced offensive line, you know, particularly with a guy like Cooper Mays, who feels like he's been at Tennessee for 15 years at this point. But heading into the NC State matchup, how intrigued are you by the offensive line, particularly Hurd at left tackle, and what we could see there?
Well, I think every week he's going to be a little better. I mean, he's still a young guy. If LSU didn't have two first-round picks at tackle, he would still be there. I think with him, it's sort of with Hurd and Nico, in a weird way, it's sort of the same thing. You think they're both going to be really, really good, but you're sort of spending these first two or three weeks trying to get them as close to their best as you can before you get into SEC play. And I think that's even more so with Hurd, because I think Nico's a lot closer there. Hurd has to be good. Said catastrophic injury a minute ago. Lance Hurd is one of those guys that keep Tennessee from suffering something like that. Offensive line's good. I like the front five. I'd say they even go six deep. They're just, you know, that's just probably where it ends. And we didn't see anything new out of the twos in the Chattanooga game.
Well, Adam, go ahead. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday, and I hope you get the DirecTV situation figured out.
Same. Yeah, okay, guys.
Write a letter to the editor about that. Yeah. For your mailbag, complain about DirecTV, you know?
I may do it.
Thank you, Adam.
We'll see y'all.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. You know, I would pay a lot of money to watch Adam Sparks watching a football game in Spanish. I think it could be a pretty good experience.
That's some dedication. I'm impressed. That's really weird, too. You know, I didn't give him crap for this, but Sparks is a notoriously non-sports-watching sports writer.
Yeah.
Like, he's always like, I just watched a documentary. Like, did you see that game last night? No, I watched a documentary on the Crimean War.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now his wife watches every sporting event known to mankind. So yeah. That's interesting.
It is. He's got the bug. He's got the college football bug early in the year. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
College football is truly back.
What was he screaming at if he wasn't? I don't know. Anything? That's the thing. I'm trying to remember. I remember a lot of loud outbursts with swear words in them. I guess it was never like correcting a mistake. He's like, man, I hate that mistake. I wish we didn't make it. I don't know what to do about it.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant.
That's my contribution.
Inserting myself into the Rob Rant a little bit more lately. I guess things are just upsetting me a little bit more.
Good. I'm happy. Actually, I was going to tell you this. I'm going to have a program change for me. So from now on, the Rex Rant, it's going to be the most serene segment of the day for me.
Oh, good.
Garcia. It's going to be what I'm happy about.
Yeah. Tomorrow, we could just really get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, just like things that make me happy.
Yeah,
what the hell is wrong with people?
Kuharski, today I want to talk to you about corned beef hash. Let's talk about corned beef hash for a minute.
Sponsored by Serenity Now.
Yep, yet another shameless plug from Joe Rex Road.
That wasn't this.
All right, so I want to discuss our dear friend Brian Kelly today. Obviously, things did not go well for LSU the other night in the loss to USC. Apparently, season openers for Brian Kelly, not really his strength. Not going very well for him at LSU with the season openers to this point. But there was a moment in the post-game press conference that took place, and you really need to see the video to go along with it, but you can get the general gist of it with the audio playing. Here was Brian Kelly in the immediate aftermath of LSU's season opening loss on Sunday night.
We had some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over.
So that's Brian Kelly, and he's slamming his fist down on the podium. And I got to say, I watched that, Joe, and I just – and maybe this is just me, but I can't help but watch him when he gets mad like that and think, God, it's just so fake. Like, it's so fake. It just seems like he's trying to play up to his audience that he is upset after losing that game. And I just – I'm going to tell you right now, I think he's a good coach. He got to the SEC title game his first year, which I think we would all agree is ahead of schedule. His second year – on the field, like record-wise, wasn't where they wanted it to be. He did have a Heisman Trophy winner. So, like, it's been a fine 2 years for him, I guess.
He squandered a Heisman Trophy winner.
He did. I don't think this is going to end very well at LSU. And I'm not saying that he's going to get fired this year. But I just – I know that fan base. It's among the least patient fan bases in college football. I think he's a good coach. I don't know that he's an elite coach, and they hired him to win a national championship. And we've talked about this off the air yesterday. But, like, Notre Dame probably, with their win against Texas A&M, probably is going to make the playoff. I mean, yep. It would take a collapse on their part based on their schedule for them to not be in the playoff. And if they get in a situation, and I know it's different because LSU does have to play in the SEC, and they do have a much tougher schedule than Notre Dame has this year. But if they get to the end of this season and Notre Dame's in the playoff and LSU isn't, that is not going to sit well with LSU fans. And from the moment he walked down here with his family press conference in the middle of it, he just seems so fake. And it doesn't seem like a great fit to me with him at LSU and him slamming his fist down in frustration the other night and just the way he sounded after that game. I don't know. Something about it crawled all over me, and LSU fans are upset about it too. It seems like this is not going to end well with Brian Kelly at LSU.
So just to be clear, so you think that that was
I think he was playing up. Yes, yeah. I think it was performative to his fan base to act like he was just irate with what happened out there.
Well, you definitely – yeah, I think you may be right. You definitely I would advise doing that as compared to some – Mark from Ashland City is talking about Napier with his – dude in the bay, it's like, yeah, dude, don't say another word about the fans, buddy. Like, talk about take blame. Even if people think it's disingenuous, take blame.
Well, for those who missed it, right, Billy Napier in his press conference yesterday talked about. I mean, his point was basically trying to get his team to worry about doing what they need to do. And I think what he said was, don't be worried about like the guy in rural Florida in his basement talking about it. It's like, okay, so now you're taking shots at the fan base.
I was like, actually, Billy, you should be worried, and Brian too. Very worried about the really rich people who you know have a lot to say about whether you're going to keep your job or not. No, I'm with you. I think Brian Kelly, you know, he left Notre Dame to have a better chance to win a national championship, and I think Notre Dame is going to be – not only are LSU fans going to be watching the playoff, I think, but they're going to be watching Notre Dame host a playoff game.
Yeah.
And that is not going to sit well at all. And I'm with, like, the family thing was just – we basically did the whole show on that day, which was just me doing stupid
and again,
accents. But
like,
still.
It's not a – like, that part of it's not a big deal. And I think he's a good football coach.
But it's a little
bit. But it does kind of factor into, like, I don't think he's a good fit there. I never have. I never thought he was a good fit at LSU. He's a good coach, and he can recruit, all those things. And ultimately, like, maybe he does put together a team that's good enough to win a national championship. But it's always just kind of seemed like a weird fit for me with him there.
You know, Brian Kelly is an excellent football coach for a long time, going back to Grand Valley State, winning national championships there. But also, let's remember how close he was to being fired at Notre Dame. You can give Clark Lee some credit for the rebound there, and then he goes on and finds greener pastures. Yeah, I don't think it's going to end well either. And, you know, it's like, I mean, like last year, yeah, they had Jaden Daniels. They couldn't stop a nosebleed, you know?
It was awful. Yeah.
And so then you, when you start getting into, you know, you're firing your coordinators, you're going to get this score. Sometimes it works out because you hire a great coordinator and you're like, I think they are better. They look better that way. Like USC, they both those teams we watched the other night hired new coordinators and like it looks like it's like working. But at the same time, the trend is, I don't know, man. It's not all coming together. And like you said, that fan base. You know what's wild about LSU is like, I mean, 20 years ago, you know, like before they got Saban away from Michigan State, like really
it's different.
They had a lot of way more bad football than good football. But in the Saban totally changed the standard.
Yeah, they did. And look, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to act like Coach O, as much as I love Coach O, was like God's gift to coaching. But he did, however much you want to credit him or not, assemble maybe the greatest college football team of all time. And then 2 years later, they're ready to run him out of town. Like, that's how it works there. Like, it's what have you done for me lately? And there's a lot of things that kind of went into the Coach O thing. And again, like, Brian Kelly's not going to get fired this year. Brian Kelly is not going to lose his job this season. But I do think, like, you know, if they end up 8-4 and they're out of the playoff, next year it's going to be hot heading in there for him.
Right. I mean, you're there to win national championships.
Yeah.
You're certainly there to be in the mix for them. And if you don't make the 12 team this year, it's going to be blazing hot. And I don't think they will. And maybe he'll prove me wrong. Again, I like the QB. I think Nussmeier looks good. But that's also the neighborhood you're in. I mean, where are they in SEC programs right now? Like, where do they rank? In terms of, like, trajectory, I would put them behind Tennessee right now. Obviously, behind Alabama, Georgia. I mean, I think I'd put them, you know, like the fact that Ole Miss – it has a better team this year than LSU. How does that sit with LSU fans?
Exactly.
Not well.
Not well. So,
and now, you know, come on in Texas. So there's another one. You bump them down a peg there. Oklahoma, maybe with them too.
It's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays together. And again, look, I'm sure that he was upset after the game. For whatever reason, the slam in the fist, it felt like he was internally saying to himself, well, doesn't look like I'm mad enough right now, so let's play this thing up a little bit and start slamming the table. It's like, okay, man.
He should have just started talking Cajun.
Well, Jeremy and Clarkson said, what made you think the guy's fake? The southern accent that comes and goes? He's a politician. Kind of is.
I'm going to eat that gumbo later. He just starts screaming in Ed O talk.
We're having a press conference. We're having a press conference.
Oh, we need to, you know. I will say, Keezer, we do need to have just the occasional Coach O drop.
We do.
We cannot forget Coach O.
No. He can't be lost in the ether. We'll have Willie Donick coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Vanderbilt's big win against Virginia Tech over the weekend. And we'll offer some closure to the Yaroslav Askarov discussion as well. Willie's really looking forward to this. I'm interested to see how this goes. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.